So I'm going to start off tonight with a little story about a gentleman I've been following for probably about close to 5 years now. And I didn't think of this until we were on our way here, so I don't have a picture of him, but you can find him online. His name is John Cao, C-A-O, and he is a Chinese citizen. He's an American resident. He's married to an American woman. He has children. He has a residency card for America, but he kept his Chinese citizenship because he wanted to be able to go to China whenever he wanted and share the gospel in any way he could. Well, one day he was actually crossing the border from China to, I believe, Myanmar, and he was on his way back, and all he was doing was going over there, helping out with the school and coming back. Well, as he was coming back, he was arrested for illegal border crossing. However, the border crossing was legal, but they knew what he was doing. He was going and sharing the gospel, and they didn't like that. So he was put in jail for 7 years, 5 years ago. He wants to keep doing what he's doing. He wants to share the gospel, but right now he's sharing the gospel in a way that he was not expecting. He's doing it from inside of a jail instead of in schools to kids. So his job description changed wildly, but he's still doing it no matter where he's at. So I wanted to share that story because I'm going to outline kind of three things as we go through tonight. And he's just one of many people throughout the world living right now who are living this Christian life. And this is just some reminders of some good doctrine as we are in this series on doctrine. And I want to start tonight with a passage from 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 14. And it says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." This is Paul talking to Timothy. "Nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." So we're doing this series on doctrine, learning a little bit about doctrine, about false prophets, about false teachings. And the thing we are pointed to last week was keeping our focus on Jesus. And that is so important, to keep our focus on Jesus, so that whenever we hear a doctrine, whenever we learn something, whether it be from the Bible, or the Bible will always point us to Jesus. But maybe you'll pick up a book by somebody who talks about the Bible, but maybe they're pointing you in a different direction. Or maybe you'll listen to a preacher and he'll point you in a wrong direction. So as long as we know Jesus and we know his word well, we should always be able to detect the words we are receiving and be able to determine whether they are good and right or wrong. And I want to talk to you about three little points of doctrine today. One is grace, and we learn about that in our passage today, is about grace and how Paul said it's not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. So the interesting thing about grace is that's where our salvation comes from. It's not by anything we do. We can't memorize enough Bible verses to get into heaven. We can't do enough charity to get into heaven. We can't give enough money to get into heaven. There's never enough works for you to earn your way into God's favor. Even if all you do your entire life is good works, even just one sin will separate you from God. But that's the neat thing about grace. And we get that from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we cannot work our way to salvation. It is only by his grace we are saved. So does that mean we don't have to work? Well, Paul would also argue, and you'd get this out of Romans 6, no, you still need to work, but you don't work to be saved. You work in response to being saved. And that is where point number two comes in. We had grace. Then we have evangelism, which is a command from Jesus. Even though works don't save us, Jesus has jobs for us to do. The chief one being, go therefore, Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So in response to our salvation, Jesus gives us the first command to go out into the world and tell other people about him. This also can include, in response to our salvations, we go door to door and give people candy. That's evangelism, because there's a gospel message in all but 10 of the bags. Those 10, they don't know what they're getting. I don't know. But if we do trash pickup day, that's evangelism, because we're sharing the gospel through our work. If we give to a missionary or we give to the church, we are working not to be saved, but as response to our salvation. So grace is what we have been given freely by Jesus because he did all the work. Evangelism or any good work is our response to that grace. And our reward for all of this is suffering. So we follow Jesus, we do all this work, and then we suffer? John 16, 33, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We will suffer as Christians, and it comes in many different packages. Sometimes it's a family member that makes fun of us because we're the Christian person. Sometimes it's a boss that is like, "Oh no, you're working on Sunday because I want to ruin your faith." Or perhaps it's some government or some community or culture that pushes back because of who you believe in. But Jesus' words is comforting because he has overcome the world. As a Christian believer, you are not a citizen of this world. You are a citizen of heaven, And when you leave this world, you get to go back, get to go to heaven and live there for eternity, where you get to live in that grace and there will be no more suffering. So this passage shows how grace, evangelism, and suffering are all part of our faith and work together for God's glory. So let's look a little deeper into this passage and see if we can dig a little more deeper into some of these points. In verses 8 and 9, it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." So our calling here for this grace is to live holy lives, as opposed to living in sin and then abiding or living in God's grace. This passage also reaffirms to us the sufficiency of grace. Nothing we can do is saving us. It's all Jesus' work, his life, his perfection that saved us. And this particular verse also just reaffirms in us the eternal preexistence and divinity of Jesus. Because it says, he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Before time began, Jesus was there. So before anything else was created, Jesus was there. Thinking on our grace. Oh, I pressed that button. So there we go. Verse 10 says, "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." This is Christ's work on the cross, because that's something none of us can do. None of us can die on a cross for someone else. At least not so that it will do any good. Church tradition shows us that a few of the apostles either died or may have died on crosses, but their deaths on crosses didn't do anything for anybody else. Didn't save anybody else. They were saved. They were going to heaven to be with Jesus. But we are to, in Jesus' words, bear our own cross, which is suffering. And yes, it might even be to die, but not to die for other people or their sins, but in obedience to Jesus. Verse 11 and 12, at least the first part of 12 says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do." I don't know if he's talking about that he has too much workload. Preacher, apostle, and teacher. He might be working, you know, full 12-hour days, 6 days a week. Hopefully he's having a day of rest in there somewhere. But Paul notes his suffering through many of his letters. And there is passages throughout. One time he prays, he says, "I prayed 3 times for the Lord to relieve the thorn in my flesh." And he says, "My grace is sufficient." So sometimes we will suffer. Sometimes bad things will happen. Sometimes we'll be broke and have absolutely no way to do anything. But his grace is sufficient. And suffering takes so many forms. We have a brother who's in the hospital right now dying of cancer. Dying is suffering. It's not something to look forward to. Some people are abused or in households where they're emotionally or spiritually or physically abused in spite of loving Jesus. It's suffering. It's horrible. There are children all over the world that are neglected. There are adults all over the world that are neglected. Depression is one of the raging epidemics in our country. And is Paul dragged down by any of these? I don't know. He doesn't say, and I don't know that they had the word cancer back then. But he definitely, I mean, just in his letters, he probably had times where he felt depressed. I don't know that I would diagnose him with depression, but there were probably days where he was just like, God, I've had enough. And then God says, my grace is sufficient. There are times when Paul walked into a town and they completely ignored him. He felt neglected. There were times when they threw stones at him. Then he got up and went back in. That's grace being sufficient, that it keeps you from dying from being stoned. But Paul's suffering was probably way worse than anything else that we've ever been through. And he kept going. So we can too. Second half of verse 12 starts with, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Sharing with you a picture here of a couple of people. This is Hans and Sophie Scholl. I don't know which one Hans is, but I'm pretty sure Sophie's there in the middle. It's my best guess. So this brother and sister were alive in the early 1940s, and they were German citizens. And when Hitler came onto the scene, they were thrilled. They loved the idea of the Workers' Party. They loved the idea and these things Hitler was saying. But then they noticed something about their neighbors. Some of them weren't being treated as well as other neighbors. Some of them even started to disappear from town. Not move. They were there on Friday. They were gone on Monday. And they began to ask questions. And they began to learn what Hitler's plans were for Germany. And they got extremely upset. And they created something called the White Rose. And it was a resistance movement. It was very verbal, but also very secret. They'd throw pamphlets out speaking against the Nazi regime. They were very secretive about it. They'd hide out and print a bunch of pamphlets and then spread them out up the streets at night. One time, one of them thought this balcony was clear, and they threw a whole bunch of pamphlets and was caught by a Nazi janitor. After a lot of interrogation, they were executed on February 22nd, 1943. They were not Jewish. They were Christian. They wanted to share the gospel with people, but also speak out against the atrocities of the Nazi regime. And they were killed for it, suffered. Paul took criticism. Paul took the physical attacks, all the suffering. And his response was very similar to Sophie's final words. I've got Jesus, keep it coming. I can take it. We continue on, verse 13. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul's giving encouragement to Timothy here and to us. Follow the pattern of the sound words. Listen to the grace of the gospel. Don't ever think that you're doing anything for your salvation. Don't ever think that suffering isn't part of your daily life. Share the gospel that grace has given you. Suffer through the hardships and continue on in the faith. And finally, verse 14 says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So as people who have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, we are tasked with guarding the gospel. Another illustration I thought of just in this moment, I saw a video last week. An Islamic gentleman was invited to a council meeting on which several Christian people sat, but it wasn't necessarily a Christian gathering. And this Islamic gentleman started telling falsehoods about the Bible. And this man got up and he did what I never could do in a very large group of people, is he stood up and started screaming scripture at this guy. And I'm not talking like forceful scripture. I'm talking like beads of sweat running down his face, and he's rebuking this gentleman so passionately. And he even says the word, I have been tasked with guarding the scriptures and you are attacking it. And it was a 10, 15 second clip. You don't get to see the whole meeting. But I was like, wow, that guy has passion for guarding the gospel. Because as people who have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that is our job, is to guard the gospel. Keep true to the word. Anything you hear from a pulpit or from a book or from any other speaker, always check it back to the word. Because take it back. Take whatever you hear back to scripture. Guard that scripture. Because everything we are is because of the grace of Jesus. And so that everything we do in response to that grace is all for Jesus. And we know that when things are all for Jesus, it is for all the world. So let's stand and sing our new song, All of Jesus for All the World.
Yeah.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your grace. We know nothing we can do can ever be enough. But everything you did was. So we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. And we pray that with this gift you've given us, the grace, the forgiveness, our salvation, that we can go out into the world and share what you've given us. And we know that suffering might come and hardships, and not every day is going to be filled with health and prosperity. But you do promise us an eternal home with you. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And as we go out into the community and share some treats, we pray your blessing upon that, that they will be well received and people will hear the gospel and respond. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.